Secondly, we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us this privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Certainly, Jesus is above all, and Jesus is above all, and all is beneath him. And we thank him for who he is and what he is doing. Certainly, it's good to be alive. It's good to be active, and it's good to be alert. We are in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. Certainly, we thank God for these preachers. Dr. Walker, Reverend Steve Skipper, Reverend McCoy, who has presided over the service, Reverend Woods, who has taught Sunday school. Do we have any more preachers here today? Reverend Walker. Amen. Reverend Lee Walker, good to see you, brother. Amen. And good to see all of you. Certainly to these deacons and trustees who have devoted us this morning. And this male chorus, come on, bless the Lord for them. Amen. Amen. And certainly to the musicians and to all of the social ministry media team and those of you who are here and those who are watching virtually. It's good for us to be alive. Amen. I want to give special thanks to the committee for making sure we're in and out safe. And listen, let me just say something. This is for our good. And we know we have a pandemic in the land. And this is for our good. You just can't do like you want to do. And you can't do that anywhere. If you do, you may be cold and stiff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, cold and stiff. You may get out of here. And so this is for our good, even in the worship place. We're not to tempt God. See, that's the devil that wants you to tempt God. I had a lady say to me one time, "You got a mask on your face, you're a preacher." I said, "Yeah." I said, "The devil told Jesus to jump down from the pinnacle."
That's right.
And he says, "I'm not going to do it because it is written."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we're not to tempt God. Amen. We have to do what we can as safe as we can. And we don't want to endanger anybody's life. Amen. This thing is serious. Amen. Amen. So thank you for your courage. Thank you for your commitment to be here this morning. I thank God for the committee who works hard and diligently to make sure you're safe. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 14. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say wait. If you're waiting and you're still searching, just look up. And it's on the screen. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast seen and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look at verse 14 again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them, stay with the word. Look at another and say, stay with the word. Amen. You may be seated. Bless the Lord on your way back to your seats. Stay with the word. When perilous times are heightened, and which the natural affection of men seems to be blighted, and all the natural safeguards against the growth of evilness seems to be overborne by the flood of ungodliness. When a proud, boasting spirit, as empty as it is pretentious, carries men into all kinds of unseemly actions. And when religion itself is far from guiding men in holy paths, degenerates into hypocrisy, and shall the people of God do to maintain their integrity? How shall the people of God stand? How shall the people of God abide in the truth of God? And how shall they hold their own against the teachers of lies and against the seducers of weak and silly souls? My brothers and sisters, the answer to the questions that I just asked is nestled and summed up in the pericope that I just read. Paul tells us to stay with the word. Stay with the word. It is no hidden truth. It is no undisclosed reality that we are living in perilous times. Perilous times are times hard to bear. They are tough, troubled, trying, terrible times. Perilous times are unsympathetic, violent, dangerous, uneasy, and fierce times. It is no secret, with all of what's happening, that we are living in perilous times. Men with men, women with women, mass shootings and murders occurring on a daily basis, pastors committing suicide, church houses closing, pastors getting killed in the pulpit, teen violence and murder at an all-time high, pandemic in the land and in the world, prevalency of apostasy. We are living in perilous times. In these times, being a Christian, a child of God, is not easy. Preaching with little results, reaching the faithful few. It is hard being a Christian in the midst of perilous times. Paul admonishes Timothy to follow in accordance with his early teaching. Timothy had been taught the scriptures by his mother and grandmother, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 said to Timothy, you have followed my teachings, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. Notice Paul in verses 14 and 15 say, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Timothy had been taught the word of God as a little boy, and now that he had reached adulthood, Paul says to Timothy, son, you need to rely on what you've been taught from the word of God.
come here. I'm here to tell somebody today that, listen, you don't need anything new now. You don't need something that sounds good with no stability. You need to rely on what brought you to where you are today, and that's the word of God. It was good enough for my dear grandmama. It was good enough for my granddaddy. It was good enough for the preachers of old. It's good enough right now. You need a word. And stay in the word. The word is sure. And very sure. That story that we have heard for centuries is still good today. Stay with the word of God. Listen, I don't care how much you hear, he died, he was buried, and he rose the third day. Listen, I'm going to say it today, because that's the pinnacle of our faith. That's the summit of our salvation. It's still good today. His word is relevant. You need to stay with the word. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, stay with the word. Let me put a pin here, because we're trying to drift away from the word. And we're talking about everything but the word. We talk about how we feel, what we think, what we know. We talk about our degrees. We talk about our, you know, we call them resumes, our resume. Our portfolios, financial and educational. And we're talking about everything but the word of God. But listen, the word of God is a sure foundation that cannot be shaken by the storms of life. And listen, if you're going to build your life, Jesus tells us to build it on the word of God. It's the foundation of God that cannot be shaken. You need to stay with the word. You need to teach your children the word. It'll keep them. It'll sustain them. It'll strengthen them. In such a time as this, Paul reminded Timothy of his earlier teachings. Boy, what you have, your grandmama had. And your mama had it. And I know it's in you, because they taught you. Young people, don't you stray from what these seniors are trying to teach you. Young people, don't you think we don't know what we're talking about. And our time has passed. Listen, gray hairs means experience. Stay with the word. Paul says to Timothy, son, you have reached a time in your life where you're going to have to rely on what you were taught. And we are in that time. See, we're in a time where you can't play church. You know, for a long time we played church. For God I live, and for God I die. And you scared of everything. See, now you can't play church. See, if you shout, it's because you're a real shouter. You can't play church now, because this thing is so tough and serious and horrendous and horrific now that you can't play church. See, you're going to have to be about what you say you're about. Because we're in perilous times. And listen, these times will reveal whether or not you got the word. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Paul said to Timothy, stay with the word. Why? He gives four reasons. Number one, he says the word points to the Savior. Points us to the Savior. Verse 15 says, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The word gives wisdom about how to be saved. In other words, the scripture point to the person of salvation. You are not saved by simply reading the Bible, but you are saved when you put your faith and confidence in the one whom the Bible is speaking about. The Bible is about Jesus. Old and New Testament, it's about Jesus. So if you read the Bible and you fail to put your trust in Jesus, you just a smart sinner. But when you put your faith in the Lord, he moves you from the category of sinner to a saint, and you are a saint saved by grace. Points us to Jesus. Paul said that salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus. This is essential because unless the scriptures lead you to Christ, there is no salvation. See, it's not your story. It's his story. It's not about you, but it is about you. It's not about you in that you are not the person of salvation, but it's about you because you are the person who needs to be saved. And so here it is, Paul says to Timothy, stay with the word because it points to the Savior, to the person of salvation. It reveals to us, number one, under this heading, it reveals to us the need of salvation. The scriptures say stuff to us like that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the scriptures say and has concluded that all men are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them who believe. We are in need of a Savior. Every last one of us in here, I don't care what your pedigree is, I don't care what your financial portfolio is, I don't care what your educational status is, you need Jesus. And if you don't have him, you're lost. It points to the Savior. It reveals to us our need of salvation. But not only that, the scriptures reveal God's plan for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Listen, Jesus was not a second thought nor a plan B. He was the plan all the time. Before God spoke anything into existence, the lamb was slain. And what God did in the earth was put on display, what he had already done in eternity. Jesus had already been slain in eternity. He just showcased it on earth when he died Friday on Calvary. That's for the world could see what he had already done. Jesus is the plan of God for salvation. The scriptures reveal not only the plan for salvation, our need of salvation, but it reveals the person of salvation. God commended, he put on display his love for us in that while we were yet messed up,
That's what that yet means. Messed up. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus told the Jews to search the scripture because you think you have eternal life. And it is in these that bear witness of me. Only in the scripture will you find the words of Christ when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It points us to the Savior. It's powered by God. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathe. God breathe. The word of God is the breath of God. God breathe. It's illustrated in that a sailboat doesn't have power of itself to move itself across the waters. But when the sails are open and the wind blows, it pushes the boat across the waters. See, man is not the author. God is. That's why we call it the Word of God. Because God breathed upon man. And man put pen in his hand and wrote as he was moved of God. This is not a white man's word nor a black man's word. This is the word of God. And it's the power of God unto salvation. Listen, if you want to be saved, you got to hear the word of God. You got to hear about the life of Christ and the ministry of Christ and the miracles of Christ and the ultimate work of Christ. Listen, if you're going to be saved, you got to hear the gospel. Gospel is the good news of God. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you hear it, it'll put a spell on you. What you used to do, you won't do anymore. Where you used to go, you won't go anymore. And how you used to act, you won't act anymore. And what you used to say, you don't say anymore, because you are under the gospel. Is there anybody in here under the gospel? Listen, you showed up this morning under the gospel. People told you you ought not go. You're crazy for waking up, going down there. Don't you know we had a pandemic in the land? Listen, I don't know how I got here. All I know is when I got here, he opened my eyes. I was under the gospel. It's powerful because it transforms the life. It makes you go in a different direction, act in a different way. It'll even serve as a cloth that polishes old tarnished metal. You don't look the same since you've been under the gospel. You know, people see you now. Is there something about you? Oh, you're so bright. You can be dark skinned and bright. I can talk about being dark skinned because I'm dark skinned. I just see it all over you. Y'all heard people tell you that? Ooh, it's just something different about you. You heard the gospel. It's powerful. And it'll change the life of the hearer when it's taken into the heart. It works from the inside out. It's the breath of God that gives life to a lifeless soul. That's what it did for Adam. God formed him, and he was a dead soul until God. Breathe on him. Listen, that's why when you come to church, you ought to be thanking God for the word, because every time you hear the word, God is breathing on you. It's the power of God to change your life for the better, to alter your life for the good. Paul said it's powerful. It points to the Savior, but it's profitable for men. Verse 16, because says, and is profitable. The word profitable in Greek means helpful, serviceable, and advantageous. When you hear it, it gives you an advantage. The scriptures that are profitable are the scriptures that are inspired by God. Now, there are some books people call scripture that are not scriptures, that's inspired. The Apocrypha is called scripture, but it's not inspired by God. The Book of Mormon is called scripture, but it is not inspired by God. The canon is called scripture, but it is, the Quran is called scripture, but it is not inspired by God. The Pali Canon is called scripture, but it is not inspired by God. If the writings are not inspired, they are not profitable. Paul says the word of God is inspired, therefore it is profitable. It's profitable, number one, for doctrine. It teaches you all that God wants you to know regarding himself and his will for your life. When you open the book, you should open the word of God, asking God, what is it that you want me to know about you, and what is your will for my life? If you don't get in the word, you don't know who God is and what God wants you to do in your life. And if you don't know what God's will is for your life, you will let other people fill in the blanks. See, your life as a Christian can't be a open blank question that you go around and ask everybody to fill in for you. Listen, you've got to get to the point where you don't care what folk think. Because people don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. You got to get to the point where you know folks gonna lie. And people are going to stab you in the back, and people are going to do all kinds of evil against you. But that's all right. You know who you are when you get in the word of God. If you don't know the will of God for your life, it's like a blank sheet of paper. You're in search of somebody telling you who you are. You in search of everybody's confirmation. You want people to tell you how you look. I look all right. What you ought to do? Get in the word. Because it's profitable to teach. And the more you get in the word, the more you give your ear to God, the less you give your ear to people. Because people you asking don't know. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. They don't know. You got to be okay. So you get in the word and let the word teach you the will of God. And the more you hear of God and the more you hear from God, the more peace you receive within. Stop trying to fit everybody's mold for you. Listen, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, man. Ooh-wee. He made some when he made me now. And you may not feel that way about you, but you know, when I read the Bible and he tells me who I am, I'm all right. I don't care whether you agree with it or not. I didn't ask you. I'm all right. And that's where you got to get to. When you get in the Word of God, you discover the will of God for your life. And you accept His will. And you place yourself properly in His will. It's profitable for teaching. But then it's profitable for reproof. The word reproof means proof or conviction. In other words, the word shows the need of change. Now, listen, I love me, but there are some things about me that's not right. Y'all looking up here at me, some things about you too. And listen, the word doesn't just show you the good. It'll show you the ugly and bad spots about you. The stuff you need to confront, the things you need to pray about, the things you need to surrender at the altar of God and give over to the Lord before it messes up your life and destroys you, because there's some things about us. It set us straight. It shows us the things we need to change. That everything about me is not good. Y'all okay with that? I got some faults that I ought not think. I got some feelings that I ought not have. I got some stuff I want to say that I'm close to saying when certain things happen. Because if you think it is in there. It shows us the need of change. But then it's profitable for correction. It doesn't simply show us and or just reveal to us what needs to be changed. It has the power to set us right. A lot of people don't study the word or sit under the word because the word will correct. It'll change. It'll amend the principles and practices of your life. See, when you're under the word, you're being preached to, you know, you think we've been around your house. Ooh, he talking about me. I ain't going back to that church. But you know, if you know you got a condition, you go to the doctor's office. There's no need of lying about the condition if you want to get better. And then sometimes the doctor tells you you need surgery. And generally they say the longer you go without the surgery, the worse. And if you don't do it in time, it may just consume. See, you ought to thank God by way of the Spirit. He burns the heart of the preacher to preach about certain things because God wants to cut you. See, some things won't get better by prescription. You need a surgery. Come on, talk to me now. Listen, if I was to take this coat off and take this shirt off, you'll see all kinds of cut marks on me where the word of God has cut me up before I start cutting you up. Because he deals with the preacher first. And then he gives us the assignment to deal with you. You need correction. And instructions in righteousness. You need to know where to go and how to go. What's right to God? What's pleasing to him? That's what Paul said to Timothy. Son, stay with it. I don't care how hard times get. Stay with it. Don't give up on it. Stay with it. You need to stay with the word. Because it points to the Savior. It is powered by God. And it is profitable for your living. But Paul didn't stay there. He said that it will prepare you for the work of ministry. God has given all of us a divine assignment. And you can't do it without the proper tools in your hand. You need the word of God to do what is pleasing to Almighty God. You need tools in your heart. See, the word of God will prepare the believers for the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the scriptures completely furnish. The word gives the believer all that's needed to complete the task. God won't set you up to fail. He gives you everything you need to succeed. You ought to point at somebody and tell them you can do it, because the word of God is all you need to do a job well done. You can do well because he has given you the word of God. And as I get ready to go to my seat, you need to stick with the word, because it was good enough for grandmama, and if it was good enough for granddaddy, and if it was good enough for mama and daddy, it is good enough for you. If it kept them then, it is able to keep you now. What was the word that kept grandmama and granddaddy? What was the word that kept mama and daddy? Well, they heard about a baby named Jesus, who was born of a Virgin Mary, who came and lived in earth for 33 and a quarter years. They heard about how he went from place to place, and how he opened blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears. They heard a word about how he stopped by a tax booth and called a man by the name of Levi. They heard a word about how he dried up a woman with the issue of blood, and how he raised Jairus' daughter back to life. They heard a word about how he walked upon raging seas, and how he cast out demons, and how he opened up the ears of the blind. But they also heard a word about how Friday he went to a hill called Calvary. Is there any Calvary Christians in this room this morning? You ought to stand on your feet and point to somebody and say, the gospel is one Friday he died.
But thanks be to God that he didn't say dead. Early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning. Sunday morning, he got up with all power,
heaven and earth in his hand. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It points to the Savior. It's powered by God. It's profitable for men. It prepares us for the work of ministry. You got all you need to live a prosperous, powerful life for Jesus. You don't need anything else. Stick with. Stay with the word. It's the power of God. I may not have houses and land. I may not have money. But I got Jesus. And Jesus got me. The winds may blow and the rains may descend, but I'm going to stand because I'm on the rock. I'm going to stay with the word. I don't care what other people are saying. I'm going to stay with the word. Jesus is still the answer. For the world today, besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. If you're here today, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come. 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 Receive the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in your heart that he's the Son of God. He died in your place for your good. Confess that with your mouth. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Secondly, if you're here, you need to be restored. Your battery is low, and you need it charged. Come. We will pray for you, pray with you. Thirdly, if you're here and the Lord has laid this place on your heart, this location on your heart as your home, as your family, come. We will receive you today by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Those who are watching virtually, you too can come. You can come by way of letter. You can write us. And we will correspond back with you. You can come by the church and share your faith. Share your acceptance of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Come. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your word. See that none has come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for every person here today. We pray your blessings over them as they leave. Protect, provide, and empower. Bless them in their giving. Bless them in their living. Now may your grace, the communion of your Holy Spirit, and the love of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, with them now, henceforth, and amen. Amen. We are under the direction of Brother Jesse.